Our scripture reading today is a multi-voice reading. So hear now the story of the Lord. Another story of the Lord. Now on the same day of Jesus' resurrection, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, many miles from Jerusalem, talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them,
"What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?"
They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him,
"Are you really the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place these last few days?"
Jesus asked them,
"What things?"
They replied,
"The things about Jesus of Nazareth,
who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people.
And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and then they crucified him.
But we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel."
"Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him."
Then Jesus said to them,
"Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying,
"Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight.
Were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?"
That same hour, Cleopas and his companion got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. The 11 were saying things like, Then Marian told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them.
"Peace be with you."
They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost.
"Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have."
He showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus asked,
"Have you anything to eat?"
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence.
"These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled."
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
"Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are a witness to these things."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is our final story in the Gospel of Luke. We've been walking through the Gospel of Luke since Christmas, and this closing story is kind of a doozy. It's exclusive to Luke, and it hopefully enlivens our imaginations with humor, this ghostly apparition, irony, intrigue. Imagine two dejected disciples down in the dumps. It's snowing on April 23rd. Can you feel them? Dragging their feet, making this sad, lonely trek from Jerusalem to their hometown of Emmaus. They're talking about all the kerfuffle of Passover weekend. They were on the outskirts of town when Jesus came into town on that colt. They heard the crowds shouting, and they were pretty convinced, yes, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! But several days later, the hosannas and the cloaks swinging, whoo, hurrahs are a distant memory. And then suddenly, a voice. Ah! What are we talking about? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who does not know? Jesus of Nazareth. We had hoped that he was the one. Who are you calling foolish? What? Messiah? Suffer? Moses and the prophets foretold of this? You're not going to leave us, are you? You speak as one who's filled with wisdom and winsomeness. Don't leave. Stay with us. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. Oh, my Lord, Jesus. And he vanished from their sight. Last week, I encouraged us to move from the place of where's Jesus to there's Jesus, saying that Jesus is on the loose for these 50 days of the Easter season, and we are called and invited and hopefully compelled to find him. And today's story puts an exclamation mark on a there's Jesus moment. And the good news for us in the wake of this story, I think, is twofold. Number one is Jesus shows up in the breaking of the bread. Jesus shows up in the breaking of the bread. For some reason, he was withheld from them. But when he broke bread, blessed it, and gave it to them, there was this aha moment. And the second piece of good news is that Jesus will not vanish. He is here. And so even as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, not only to remember Jesus, but if you've been here over the past several years at First Baptist Church, we try to nudge the meaning of communion. And yes, we recognize the symbol of bread and cup are filled with meaning and power. But we take a bit of a cue from our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters who on the other end of the scale would believe that this body, this bread, this cup, when the liturgy is pronounced upon it, actually become the body and blood of Jesus. Any Catholics in the house affirm that that's true? I see that hand. Any Catholics in the house? I'm not telling Christian tales here, right? I see that hand. Okay, good. Some card-carrying Catholics in the house. So we at First Baptist try to nudge it a bit, saying that there is real presence. And maybe we borrow this from our Lutheran brothers and sisters in the faith, that there's real presence here. And when we as a community of faith gather around this table, or as we come forward to this table today and we receive the bread and we drink the cup, we believe that Christ is with us in perhaps a mystical way, but a powerful, presence-filled way. And so then you might say, well, why don't we do communion every Sunday, Ryan? That's a great question. And maybe church council needs to think about that. Because if Jesus really shows up in this powerful, meaning-filled way, then why don't we do communion every Sunday? Well, we're adding an extra one today. So we're trying to move in that way. And even as I thought about us learning and living into and out of the story, it seemed very obvious that we would also have to add a communion this Sunday. So we gather at this table and we say, Jesus, yes, put your life into our hands as we put our lives into yours. So come to the table today and rejoice. Maybe you are in that place of sadness or dejection or disappointment or non-understanding. And like Evelyn said, the good news is that Jesus isn't waiting for you to have your act together, to come to you, to be present with you, to fill you with his life and his love, his forgiveness, and his mercy. So we come as witnesses of new life. We come grateful that Jesus companions with us, even when we feel hopeless and helpless. And Jesus promises to fill us with his peace. He longs to warm our hearts. That great phrase in today's story, were not our hearts burning within us? He reminds us of the reality that life emerges and raises up from dead and dark places. So let us give thanks this morning for God's amazing love, God's providence, and let us be nourished and nurtured by the table of the Lord, our Lord who longs to be found by us. Where's Jesus? There's Jesus in the bread and the cup, the real presence of Christ among us this morning. This Jesus who delights in revealing himself through word and bread, who seeks to fill us with his sustenance and pour out his salvation upon us. Jesus is here, turning our mourning into dancing, clothing us with joy as the psalmist has prayed. O Lord, my God, we will give thanks to you forever. Be known to us. Be known to us, Lord, in the breaking of the bread. I'm going to invite our table hosts forward, Alan and Ron and Kathy and Anne. And as they come forward, we have words of thanksgiving for the Lord's Supper. There's an insert, a blue insert in your bulletin today, so I'll invite you to be prepared to pray that together. And then after we pray, we will begin the Come Forward Communion. Gerald will play for us on the organ, and row by row, starting in the front rows, will come forward. And we've changed our movement on this over the past couple of months. We are starting from the outside. So the first rows, we're starting from the outside, and we're inviting you to, there'll be one server here and one server here, and that will be duplicated on the other side. So you'll take the bread, you'll take the cup, and you will stand before the table of our Lord, the cross, the candles, the higher cross. And if you want to pause and have some seconds of reflection, you're welcome to do that. If you simply want to take the elements and then keep on moving back to your seat up the center aisle, you're welcome to do that. There's baskets here to put your glass cups in as you come forward. If you need the elements brought to you, maybe Give us a wave, and I will be roving and scanning to see if the elements need to be brought to you. But we'll wait. You in the balcony, make your way down. We'll take our time. Do not feel rushed as we come to the table of the Lord this morning. And let's pray these words of thanksgiving together. O God, we give thanks for this bread and wine. In Christ, we see a life that could not be ended by death, a purpose that could not be silenced by the forces of violence, a desire deep within you for the transformation of the world. We thank you for sharing the potential in us and for calling us to be partners in your vision for this world. As we eat the bread and drink the wine, we call on your Spirit to come alongside us so that together, in the company of your Spirit, we may give ourselves afresh to the task of remembering you, of being the body of Christ, of living your life in this world. Amen.